Now, I have a lot of scriptures to read today, and I'm glad it's that way. If I can read it with my blind eyes. Mine are giving me more and more trouble, too. I believe that this message will go in be in order for along the lines of what we were looking at earlier today. I'm sort of like what Bruce said earlier. He said he had several messages, and I've had several different thoughts on my mind, and I believe this one here is the one that the Lord intends for us to proclaim. And the title of it, if I have a title, it would be, Why Did Men Hate the Son of God? Is that rain? Whatever the case, we're dry. But why did men hate the Son of God? He made several proclamations, and I have a set of 4 points in this message that pertains to this very fact that men then and even now hate the Son of God. They'll tell you, like one was said earlier, oh yes, I believe in the Lord. But in all truthfulness, they hate Him because of the way they live. Because of the fact that when they read God's Word, they don't believe it. In fact, they won't even read God's Word. Sometimes they will say, oh yes, I believe that. Yeah, it's pouring down now. There's that weather report. There's that bad weather report. But why did men hate the Lord? And basically, I'm going to just read scriptures, if I can read them with these glasses. We're going to start off in Isaiah 53. And our text along the way is going to be found in chapter 53, verse 3. It says, He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. I believe it was Bruce that said earlier, so you can go out on the street, Bruce, and ask anybody, is God sovereign? So, oh yes, God's sovereign. Say, oh yes, I believe in God. And then they go about living like hell for the rest of the day and the weeks and the months and the years. Very seldom ever going by the church house. Maybe sometimes on Easter Sunday. Maybe even on Christmas Sunday. Maybe at New Year's they'll go out and they will go out on some type of celebrations for the new year coming up. Just because it's been advertised, because other friends and relatives might be going out and establish some kind of new hope, new idea about the coming year. Now, we're not going to read all of this passage here in Isaiah 53. But it clearly says in the first part of it, He is despised and rejected of men. Well, I'm going to give you these 4 points. And that's what we'll look at for a little while. Jesus claimed before the people of the land to be divine, having the authority of God. He was claiming be God. But when he began to proclaim that he was God manifested in the flesh, the people hated him. They disagreed with him. They despised him, as our text said. In John 10 and 30 it says, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Why would you take up stones? Because first of all, they understood what he was saying. They understand it clearly. Now some people justify that scripture and say, I believe God's word. I trust that word. Ever what was said there will, I know that it's right. But this verse here means more than that. It means it exactly, Bruce, exactly what it says there. I and my Father are one. In verse 32 it says, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Now we'll take up this matter of works a little bit later in one of the points. But these there that heard him speaking, they didn't care anything about what he was saying. They didn't believe it. They hated him. In John 30:10-33, it reads, the Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. When he said, I and my Father are one, they counted it as blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Yeah, you're saying you're God. So they didn't like him saying that. They began to make accusations with him. They picked up stones and threw them at him. Some theologians say that this scripture simply means that the man called Jesus was in agreement with God's actions and his words. They became very angry and they picked up stones to stone him. And in verse 33, they justified their actions by saying that thou being a man makest thyself God. They didn't understand what he was saying. They really didn't hear what he was saying. He was claiming and professing to be God manifested in the flesh. The Jews knew and understood that this man, Jesus, was God incarnate. They knew that's what was being said. And I believe that I understand this scripture, just as the Jews did. He was claiming to be God, and I believe it. Being very, very God. He was God, 100% God, and he's 100% man. That's another message. In John 8 and 36, now the majority of our scripture is going to be in the book of John, and we're going to read a lot of scripture just to prove our point. He was claiming to be God. In John 8 and 56, it says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. But you see there, he used those words again, to see my day. Said, well, how could you be there? You're not even 50 years of age. Look at the next verse. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now we'll see that name crop up again. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. But he had stated again and proved with his own words that he was God manifested in the flesh. Once again, we see here when our Lord claimed to be. Now, I put here, great I am. And he was great. But the scripture in this place here says, I am. But indeed, he was the great I am. Why can you say that he's not? In Exodus 3 and 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I am has been sent unto us. We read all about the I am of the God's word. We believe in him with our very own heart. Every place that you go in the world, every government, we saw the scripture this morning. Every government of the world, God is there, making it work like he wants it to work. Make it to happen like he wants it to happen. Verse 15 there, Exodus 3 and 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name. And then he has the term that we saw this morning, forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. The verse that, I don't believe Bruce used this verse, but Hebrew 10 and 13, if I can find it here quickly. 13 and 20. So now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the great shepherd. He's the great I am. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So when the Lord Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. The people took up stones to kill him. They hated these words. They despised them. They knew what he was proclaiming. Man indeed hated this Jesus, just like they hated him today. I've been on the computer a number of times to these discussion blogs, and it never fails. It won't be very long you'll hear them discussing whether this Jesus was God. Somebody's always injecting this as a question. Was Jesus really God? The thing about it is, they're not just asking a question, they're making a statement. They don't really believe it. They don't believe that he was God, so they've got to discuss it. And the majority of that goes on those blogs, Bruce, they don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. They just want to argue about it. Because they don't want this Bible telling them which way to turn. They don't want to believe this word. They don't want to accept it. In John 1 and 1, which was quoted this morning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Then we skip down to verse 14 where it says, and the Word was made flesh. So this Word that's speaking of in verse 14 is the Word that was made flesh. And to me, that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that it's so. There's been many discussions about that passage of Scripture. What does that really mean? It means exactly what it's saying to me. And dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Father, full of grace and truth. When we begin to discuss God's Word, that's what we want to hear. We always want to hear the truth. And we can recognize the truth because of the grace of God. It's because we know who He is. In John 14 and 9, it reads, Jesus said unto him, speaking of, about Philip, have I been so long a time with you that yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, He doth the works. He makes it all work out right to serve His purpose. In verse 11 there it says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake, for those works that He has done. I really enjoyed that verse, that scripture, Linda, that I read to Marvin the other day over at the hospital over there. I saw some things in there that I haven't seen before. I've always thought of that scripture as when I wanted to say, well, He was praying for me, and he does say that. But from the start of that scripture to the end of it, He's talking about glorifying the Father. So everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did up on this face of this earth, and every act and every work that He was involved with and still involved with even to this very day, was to glorify the Father. My Lord is my Savior, I proclaim, and the Father of all glory. I know God the Father through the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to me in one day and He revealed Himself unto me. And before that, I was willing to say, well, I was baptized when I was, I don't know, 15 or 16 years of age. Well, I've got to be saved. But Bruce, that's not it, Bruce. And then one day he woke me up. The Holy Spirit came and the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed unto me. Now I might not clearly and be able to properly explain it, that anyone else might be able to explain it, understand what I went through. But I know that the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to me. In Galatians 2 and 20, in a way I like to, I've used this many times to introduce myself if I go off in some strange place. In Galatians 2 and 20, it reads, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that's me, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. That used to be one of my favorite ones. As far as I know, it's still one of the most. Even though Paul used these words here at the church of Galatia, I like the words of it. I can use his word to say, I'm crucified with Christ. Men did hate this Jesus. And men today still reject him. Whether it's on the computer or some other denomination or maybe even in this, in our midst. I hope not. Whenever we go into business with somebody else, Bruce, you're out there in the public quite a bit. Does everybody really believe who God is? They might say, oh yes, I believe in God. And men today still reject him and despise him. You can still hear the argument going on. The question I want to ask you, do you really hate God? Do they hate God? I believe that they do. If they take God's word and they begin to twist it out of place, add to it, subtract from it, say, I believe it means this, and they're totally wrong, how can they love the Spirit of God? When I read it, I see something there that sounds unfamiliar to me. I say, I believe that. I always believe God's word. And I try to apply it to my life like it should be applied. Hopefully. The second point is, why did men hate the Son of God, or the Lord Jesus Christ? The gospel was to go to the Gentile nation. And the Jews had the idea that the gospel was only for them. Now, there are several places that we could go and find this out over in the third chapter of the book of John. That's one of them I remember. But here in Luke 4 and 24, we see, and he said, I'm speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, then great famine was throughout all the land. Now these Jews, they got really upset here because they fully understood what this man was proclaiming. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saying, Bruce, he was sovereign. He was saying, I'm sovereign. And I'll call whoever I want to out. I'll feed that widow woman if I want to, that one widow woman. And everybody else can go hungry. Forgive me for saying it that way. It sounds a little awkward, and maybe I shouldn't say it that way. But he was sovereign in the matter. He said, but I tell you the truth. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 3 months, one great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent. Verse 26. Save unto Sarepta, the city of Sidon, unto women, unto a woman that was a widow. I'm thankful that the Lord came to me and revealed himself to me, JT. Do I understand everything in this Bible? No, I don't understand everything. But I'm thankful what he did for me. I'm thankful that he came and revealed himself unto me. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed. Nobody else was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. When the Spirit of God comes down, and he reveals himself to those that belong to him, it's to serve his purpose. It's to glorify him. As I read, told you about in the book of John, chapter 17. And if you get a chance today, I hadn't established that as something I was going to read today, but if you'll take John 17 and read it, look in there how the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, was there to glorify the Father. And that was his prayer. I believe that was the heart of the prayer. Now I'm thankful he prayed for me there also. And many lepers, let's go to verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. All those around, they didn't like what he said. We have two different scenes here. One of the scenes is in the synagogue, and the Lord Jesus Christ was there, and he was giving them an example of something that happened back in the Old Testament. And we believe the Old Testament as much as God's Word as the New Testament. But they didn't want to accept the very fact that God was sovereign, and that this gospel would be going to the Gentiles. And he rose up and he thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Indeed, the gospel was and still is very offensive, and the Jewish people once again did not like the teachings of Christ. People that don't like the teachings of Christ. I've just been reminded of Tony's changed churches now, JT, but in the Second Baptist Church over here at Humble, he told me, he said, that preacher never preached more than about 20 minutes, 10 to 20 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes. They'd get in there and they'd have a few good, a few songs and I don't know what else they did, but why would anybody go to a church that doesn't speak of the Lord more than about 10 or 20 minutes? Back over in chapter 1 of the book of John again, John 1 and verse 10, he says, He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Boy, there's a lot of people who don't believe that part. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Huh? Speaking of the Jews. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, verse 14 again, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Men still hate these words today. And every time I read that, we've used that church over there across town as an illustration before. What's the name of that preacher? Pentecostal Assembly of God or whatever it is. I don't ever listen to him. That big church over there, he's known worldwide. I wonder, 50 to 60,000 people every Sunday go over there. I wonder how many of them really believe in the God of this Bible. And probably some of them, Bruce. No, well, that's a good example. Crystal. Crystal. And Swaggart is preaching again. Somewhere over there in Alabama or somewhere over that way. I don't know where it is. He's even got him a TV show. They don't want to hear them. They don't want to believe what they really mean. Men want their little puny decision to satisfy a holy God. And it's not going to satisfy God what they do. What's going to satisfy God is what the Lord Jesus Christ does. But the only sacrifice God the Father will accept is what? The blood of the Lamb of God. The blood of Christ. The third point. Proven that men today hate the Son of God. The Jews also hated him because he said their works were no good. And they were living in unbelief. It's amazing how many people have the idea that they were baptized once, like I was, when I was 15 years old. And from then on, the rest of them, how blind can they get? They believe that they're safe with God because they joined the church. They say, oh yeah, I believe in Christ. And then they go about living the life that they purpose in their own life. Not what God desires for them to live like. It has nothing, they don't even know what God's word demonstrates and says and repeats. That is what they think. That's what they think. That's the way they feel like it ought to be thought of. I've heard them say before, this is what I believe. This is the way I think it ought to be done. In John 6 and 64, the scripture reads, there are some of you that believe not. Is that the scripture? Okay. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Over in the third chapter of John, it says, second chapter, I believe it is, right at the end of it, it says, he knew them. He knew what was in their hearts. And that lost man out there, even though it says in chapter 7 that he never knew them, that when many will go before him, he declares that he never knew them. Yet, he knows what's in their heart. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. You know why? Because those that would betray him were not his to start with. They belonged to Satan. Now I get in trouble for saying that in some places. And he said, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it was given unto him of my Father. My God is absolutely sovereign, and I don't know why it was in his purpose that I was to be there, Bruce. But all I can say is, thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for his mercy. I'm thankful for his love for me. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That's the people that were following after him. And we see people come and go in our midst here. Some of them will come in and they talk like they'll be here from now on. And the next Sunday you go to looking for them and they're not here. They're gone. And you never see them again. I'm thinking right now about the man on the motorcycle, him and his wife coming here that time on a motorcycle. I'm thinking about another lady come in here and I can't mention him. I'll get in trouble because her idea was get somebody to provide transportation for her. And I said that one time going, I nearly got in trouble, Bruce. I don't want to make some kind of quick charge or judgment against somebody like that, but there are people like that. I remember, I'll tell you about this one, in Pine Grove, one Sunday morning, there was a man and his wife come in there, they walked right up to the front row, sat down on the front row, listened to the preacher preach, and joined the church. That was the last time we ever saw him, JT. Did he love the Lord? I hope he did. I hope he does. I really do. Hell is a terrible place to wind up. That's right. He went out okay. He went out the front door right after that service and never come back. We can stay here the rest of the day. It's getting so dark out there, we think it's nighttime. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away also? That's the 12 apostles, by the way, I believe. There was one that was of the devil. That's Judas Iscariot. But not here at this time. Will you also go away? In John 7 is 7. Let's see if this applies. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. Christ speaking. You know, oftentimes, I've had people, Bruce, JD, they speak to me, and you can tell that they have nothing for you. They have a hatred for you. They despise you and reject you. That's hatred. That's what that amounts to. They're not going to hate, but that hatred that we sense or feel like is not for us. It's the hatred that they have for the Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because I testify that the works thereof are evil. Huh? Strange. Very interesting there. Some other scripture about works for our salvation. That's one of the big hang-ups with the folks today. They have the idea that they're saved. So all I got to do, I'm walking and I'm painting a scenario, but some of them have the idea, I go to church every Sunday. Just because I'm here every Sunday does not save me. It does not bother me to say it like that because, you see, I believe it. Just because I support the missionaries on the missionary field doesn't make me saved either. Just because I invite my brother over here and he doesn't come doesn't make me saved either. I'll try to keep this in my name so nobody get mad at me. I've been asked a number of times, and Brother JT, you'll understand this. So why are you going out there at that church out there? It's so far away. They're professing Christians, by the way. In Galatians 2 and 16, it reads, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. And I told this story before, JT. Maybe it was over at the house on Tuesday night, but I was working for this guy, and I was in his kitchen in there, and I don't remember how we got there, but this is what I remember. He says, I don't sin. I don't sin. And when he said that, I backed up about 2 feet. You know, it's easy. Bet it's easy to laugh about that. But it's a sad situation that people are like that. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Oh, that's not what it means. You've got to read the whole chapter and get the contents of the whole chapter there, Bruce. Linda, would you put that pencil down? I don't want you writing me any nasty notes. She didn't even smile, Bruce. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is gift of God. And this is one of our favorite passages, but it's going to say something about works in here, Brother JT. It says, not of, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I don't come to church here to be saved. I come here because the Lord first loved me, and now I love him, and I wouldn't do anything else but come here. I desire to be with God's people. I deserve to serve him some way, and I miserably fall short of that. This is more of a teaching message. Verse 10, yeah, I read that one. Titus 3 and 5. Not by works of righteousness. What is a work of righteousness, JT?
Well, it is a work of righteousness, but you can't work righteousness.
That's correct. That's right. It's a righteous act to be obedient to the Lord. And he's the only one that will make it a righteous act. Because when we go off alone, like those I was talking about earlier, they go to church on Sunday and they feel like they've done something good and made them holy and righteous, and it doesn't. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Thank you, Lord. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by our confessions. Not by our baptism. Not by our church attendance. Not by our offerings. Not by anything else that we might think up, but by his righteousness. You sleepy? Linda back there yawning. Boy. Four. Now we looked at three reasons why men hate the Son of God. Why do men hate him? Number four, the fourth reason, he declares the people to be spiritually blind and deaf and to be sinners. Whoa. Oh, not me. I can read all of God's word and understand every word of it. I know exactly what he says. That's what some say. I hope that I do understand it, a portion of it. As he sees fit, he reveals things to us. But some don't. Oh, I injected a scripture here, and I've got to go over and find this one because I didn't write it down. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. I believe that's something that somebody used this morning. Who used that verse? 1 Corinthians, I got it somewhere, I don't know where I got it. Two and 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Huh, that's what he says. Sure enough says that, doesn't it? No, I got that one from my computer this morning. But I didn't write it down. And Linda found it for me. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. Read it again. But the natural man my natural man, in the flesh I am, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Sometimes I can't understand in the flesh. The lost man sure enough can't understand when he's in the flesh, because he's spiritually discerned. He has no Holy Spirit directing his thoughts. How about, okay, go ahead. They sure weren't, were they? That's right. John 8:43 reads, "Why do you not understand my speech?" The Lord said, "Because you cannot hear my word." I like this passage of scripture. I've used it to stop a number of people right in their track. It'd be good to remember where this one is. Some of these people that know everything and want to tell you exactly their relationship about the Lord, read this one to them. "You cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The devil is a liar. And so many people have taken up the habit of lying about their relationship with the Lord. "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Verse 45. "But because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." You don't believe me. Where do we find the truth? In God's Bible, in this book. Only if we belong to him. Well, that's a discussable matter. "Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Whew. Man. Now we'll go back to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew has that word that Bruce spoke on this morning, kingdom of God, more than any other. When I start thinking about the kingdom of God, I usually go over to the book of Matthew. But he has a lot to, he uses the word many times.
The kingdom of heaven is the one that's mentioned in Matthew. Okay,
Matthew only then.
The kingdom of God may be in there too, but I know.
Well, in the past I haven't considered the difference. I felt like they were the same, but that, well, I don't, I have to search that one out a little further. Matthew 15:12. "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Now, we hadn't read the whole chapter, but verse 13 says, "But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Brother JT, that's a difficult thing for me right there. Because I feel like it's telling me that if I strive to convince somebody of the truth of God's word, and I see that he's not even listening to me or listening to God's word, I have a tendency, I want to get a hold of him, shake him around the neck, and try to convince him of the truth of God's word. God says leave him alone after a certain time. I need to consider that some more. So we say, why do the people of today hate God? We've given four reasons. He claimed to be God. He saves whom he pleases. They sure enough don't believe that one, Bruce. Works are no good for eternal salvation. Linda and I worked real hard to be here on church today. And she got up late. But it didn't add any, but it doesn't provide salvation for us. We're here because we belong to the Lord and we desire to be with God's people, even if there are just two or three of us. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us. 5 of us. Jesus accused them of being spiritually blind and sinners. Today, many are spiritually blinded. Today, well, let me just put it blank like this. They don't belong to God. That's all it amounts to. They don't belong to God. I'm not bragging about that. I'm just declaring it. My desire is that all men will belong to the Lord. I don't want to see them spend eternity in hell. I don't want my son and my daughters to spend eternity in hell. I don't want it, Bruce. Sometimes in the middle of the night when I wake up, I weep over them when I begin to think about this. But they're spiritually discerned. It's a terrible thing to hate Jesus and to reject who he is. Then I ask all of us, do we hate him or do we love him? That's all I have today. Why did man hate the Son of God? Why do the heathen rage? And that's what they do, imagine a vain thing.